Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this met with the approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. That night, before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Can you hear me clearly? Great to be in God's house this morning. If this is your first time, welcome to All Saints. If it's your 100th time, welcome to All Saints. My name is Sam. I'm part of the preaching team here. And as Will prayed, it is a house full of chaos for us. I have my wonderful sister-in-law here. Please welcome her. That's Catherine, all the way from sunny Nelson. So welcome, Catherine, to All Saints. I just thought I'll set myself up so that I'm all ready to share. I got my timer on as well, so you don't fall asleep. Today we're going to look at a fascinating story about this man, Peter, escaping from the prison. And I just thought, just to give a bit of introduction as well, the main character is Peter. Last Sunday, if you were not here, or if you were at kids' church, or if you were somewhere else, I thought it would be good to bridge what happened last Sunday, and then we move into this passage today. Acts chapter 3 was what was preached by Brendan last week. He talked about the story of a man who was sitting outside the temple, and Peter and John, they go to pray over the temple, and because he was lame from birth, he really wanted some help, some money, and this is the response by Peter, and he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." So the man got up out of his feet, and his ankles got immediately strong, and he started walking. And that's the miracle that happened we heard about last week. But what happened from Acts chapter 3 to Acts chapter 12? It's a lot that happened, and I thought it's really good for us to understand. Since then, God was continually at work in the church. The apostles did a lot of miracles at that time. Stephen was stoned to death. That happened in Acts chapter 8. But also during this time, what we do notice is the church was growing. Miracles were happening. The church was continually growing. And what people imagined, the non-Jewish people, that is the Gentiles, were also coming to Jesus Christ in big numbers. They were being converted, and then they were receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So eternal life was given to them as well. So the church started growing and continually. But also, on the other hand, there was persecution happening as well. And what this tells me is that whenever there is a growth happening in church, there's always opposition that happens. And that is the truth. The enemy of our lives, he doesn't want us to grow. The enemy of our lives, he really wants us to be stagnant, wants us to be stable. He doesn't want us to rely on God, but he rather wants us to be just rely on our own self. And that's the world we live in currently. So we see persecution is happening across the church. The Christians started scattering across different cities. They were going to all the other different cities, not in one place. And because of the scattering of that, they also carried within themselves what we call the good news of Jesus Christ. So if we move to different places, we don't leave the message of Christ where we started, but we actually carry us with them. So wherever they went, they even started sharing about the good news. In fact, more people started coming to Christ there as well. It became even worse. What the enemy thought, oh, well, let's just scatter them, let's just persecute them. It actually started getting worse. People started coming more and more to Christ. And it is about this time that we go to chapter 12, we read. So let's go to Acts chapter 12, and it says this, that it was about this time that King Herod, he arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. So what King Herod, I think there are a few characters here. I thought it would be good for us to understand who are these people so we get a bit of background understanding as well. This is not the king. This is not Herod the Great we talk about. He's not Herod the Great. This is King Herod Agrippa. So Herod the Great, King Herod Agrippa, which we talk about in this chapter, he's the great-grandson of Herod the Great. And again, I'll go back to Herod the Great was the man who ordered for all the babies to be killed when Jesus was born. This is not him. In fact, what happens is when Herod the Great died, his kingdom was divided into four different parts. And so that's why you will see in the Bible, if you read more and more, there's a word mentioned, the word called tetrarch, which means he's the ruler of one-fourth of the kingdom, which means the moment King Herod died, if you are an immediate descendant of Herod, you will be given one-fourth of the division of that domain, and that's why you call the tetrarch. So we see that this is King Herod Agrippa. What he does is he starts persecuting the church. He starts attacking the church. The first attack we see here is on James. Now, who is this James? If you go back to church history, tells us that the record church also tells us that James had another brother called John, and they both were the sons of Zebedee. And these are the first disciples that Jesus called towards him. And this is the James that we talk about. James was also the inner circle of Jesus. There were three people who were very close to Jesus. I learned them as PJJ, Peter, John, and James. Easy to remember. So this is the James we talk about. Not only was he the first disciple, he was also the inner circle of Jesus as well. And what does the early church history tells us is that when James was persecuted, that we read in Acts chapter 12, when James was executed, even the guard at the time was so impressed by his faith, by his profession of Jesus Christ, that even he accepted Jesus Christ at that very time when James was executed. So James got executed, and then even the guard gets executed as well. So it's really not a great start to Acts chapter 12. It's a very, very somber start. So we move on to the story, and it says that King Herod Agrippa, he was wanting, what did the people react? He wanted a reaction from the people. So he starts killing, he killed James, and then he thought, all right, let's see what the people are thinking. And so he martyrs James, and then it says the people actually were very happy about it. So he wanted a political reaction from the people, and then he said, okay, cool, I'm going to get another big fisherman. He goes moving to Peter. So Peter was another big fisherman. Even as we move before that, I really want to talk about this man James as well. I think it's good for us to understand that people think Stephen, who was martyred, he was the first martyr. Actually, he wasn't an apostle. Actually, James, who we talk about here, he was the first apostle to be martyr. And then also church history tells us that 11 out of the 12 disciples of Jesus were martyred, and only one, he died of an old age, and he was the brother of James, who is John. So we can see that the sons of Zebedee, there were two sons. One was James. He was the first one to die. And then he had another son called John, and he was the last son to be died as well. What a blessing for the dad. Let's get back to the narrative. So here, King Herod, he observes the reaction of the people when he puts James to death. So he goes after Peter. Now, this happens during the celebration of the Passover. According to Jewish tradition, is you are not supposed to execute anybody during this Paschal feast. So Herod has to really wait till this feasting, till the Passover is finished, and then he was going to execute him. So the text says here, as we read in verse 4, he says that after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to the guards. There were four guards of four soldiers each. Now, whenever I read the Bible, I always ask myself the question, why did he have four guards of four people? It's always good to ask yourself the question. You know, don't assume all the answers in the Bible. You've got to ask. You've got to make yourself think. And he says, why were there four people? Was he a man who was attacking people? No. He was actually four people, and he would message the good news of Jesus. Four quarts of four people gives me information is that the four quarts depicts there were four watches during the day, which means four teams of four people. And so if you do four times four, if you're good in numbers, 16. Thank you, Davis. So there were 16 soldiers for how many? One guy. What Bible tells me is that they were guarding Peter in prison. So one leg of Peter was chained to one of the guards, and the other leg of Peter was chained to another guard. So there were two guards right next to him, and then there were two right opposite to the entrance as well, so he doesn't escape. So this story tells me that this is a high security imprisonment. And verse 5 we move into is that it says, so Peter was kept in the prison, but something else was happening somewhere else, that the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Peter was kept in prison in here, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Before I move on to the text, I think I really want to talk about the word prayer here. I think there are some people here, and I'm not talking about you, but there are some people out there, because you guys all believe in prayer. People out there, I think they have questions about prayer. When I pray, why does God not answer my prayers? Or I think people out there, they also have questions that, does God even listen to our prayers? I think we sometimes wonder why all our questions are not answered. Let me take you back to the prayer that Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. And then he goes back to his disciples and he says, God said no to me. So he goes towards being crucified. There is a story that comes to my mind as I hear about prayer, as I was preparing and came to my mind. I thought it would be quite good for you to understand. The story is talked about this little kitten that this family bought. It was quite new to the house, so the kids were playing with the kitten, but somehow during the play, the kitten went on top of the branch of a tree, and because it was quite a sharp tree and branches, the kitten would not come down. So the kids went and asked the dad, Dad, could you help me? And this dad happened to be a pastor. And dad said, I have a plan. Let's go and rescue the cat. And the kid said, yay, Dad to the rescue. So the dad had an idea. He said, cool, I'll get my car. I'll back it off. I'll tie the rope to the car. And then I'll tie the other side of the rope towards the tree. And I'll move forward. And as I move forward, the branch will come down. And I'll grab the cat, and that's the end of the story. So he thought, cool, I'll grab the car. He tied one side of the rope to the car, and then he tied the other rope towards the tree. And as he was moving forward and forward and forward, the branch started coming down. He said, it's working. And then he moved one more time forward, and a branch snapped. The string snapped. And because of that, the branch went flinging in the opposite direction. And that's the end of the story. No, not all stories have a happy ending. 2 weeks after, the pastor thought, let me go and visit this church family. I haven't seen them in a long time. So he walks in the house, and there is the cat. And how can you tell, oh, is it Michael? So he asks, have you had that cat for long? And the family said, oh, pastor, you won't believe it. The other day, 2 weeks ago, we were playing outside, and Johnny was keep on asking me, Mommy, can we have a cat? Can we have a cat? But I said, Johnny, it's very hard. I do not want to have a cat in my house. I do not want to pay for the bills. But he kept on pestering me. So out there, we were playing, and I said to him, Johnny, okay, let's just kneel down here and pray. And if God wants to have us to have a cat, we will have a cat. So we knelt down, and Pastor, you won't believe what happened. God gave us the cat, and he answered the prayer. What I want to tell you is that this came to my mind as I was preparing, is that when we pray, coincidences happen. But when we don't pray, nothing happens. And so here we see in this story is that Peter was kept in the prison, but the church was earnestly praying so that God will rescue him. Now, if I think back, the church already knew that James was also in prison, but they killed him. The answer there was no. But what the church didn't give up. The church was continually praying. And the verse 6 says, the night before Herod was about to bring him, Peter was sleeping. And again, I read this text and say, Peter, you are in a prison. How can you sleep? You know, my kids, when they have a full-on day, I hear them snoring. And I get up in the morning and I tell them, I heard you snore really bad last night. No, I didn't snore. And they're all like, they just don't want to agree with it. But here I see that Peter was sleeping. Why? Ask the question, why? Why was he sleeping? In fact, he had 16 soldiers right next to him. How can you sleep? If you go back to John chapter 21, verse 18 and 19, you know the story about Jesus talking to Peter, and there's 3 times Jesus asks him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then the story ends in this, as that Jesus told him the way that he's going to die. What this tells me is that God's promise to Peter is that this is not the way you're going to die. So he had this absolute confidence within him that this is not the end of his life. Can I tell you, what are the promises that God has given to us here, for you and for me? Maybe you're here at this time, you have lost a loved one. Can I tell you, in Psalms 34, 18, it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He knows how you're feeling. He knows your pain. Maybe you're feeling tired and weary. I know school holidays, parents. But can I tell you, in Matthew chapter 11, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and tired, and I will give you rest. He wants us to come to him so that he's the one who will give us the strength. And as we move on further in the story, it says, suddenly, as Peter was sleeping, it says, suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the light shined in the cell, and he struck Peter to the side, and he said, quick, get up, he said, and then the chains fell off Peter's wrists. A lot of the times when I read the stories and I think about angels, I always think angels and wings. Maybe as you should read church history and you should read a lot of literature, in fact, not all angels had, in fact, they say the angels don't even have wings. And the role of angels, that they were all spiritual ambassadors. Angels were like spiritual messengers. So their job is to perform mission on behalf of God. There were 2 angels that come to my mind. Is it Gabriel and Michael? Gabriel means God is my power. And Michael means who is like God. Again, it's not always about the angels. It is pointing towards God. So here we see the story of angels is the ministry of angels here. It's just the church is praying on one side. Peter here is on the other side. And church is praying. The prayer goes to heaven. And God sends his messengers to rescue his, to rescue Peter from the prison. The ministry of angels we see here. The cell before the angel came in was dark. Peter was chained. But the moment angels came, the light shone in the cell. What it tells me is that prayer brings light into our dark places. Amen. Whenever we are chained, prayer breaks the chains that can hold us back. And there are three types of prayer that the church here did, which I don't really want to go dwell into. What they did was, first thing is that the church prayed earnestly. The church prayed sincerely. It tells me is that even though James was killed, the church didn't give up. The church said, we still want to continue to pray because Peter is still in the prison. And the last thing about the prayer is that they had a prayer of faith. They still believed that God can rescue Peter from prison. This is really a story where we see the beauty and the miracle power of prayer. And I believe as families, as individuals, as a church community, how powerful it will be if we became a community, a family that is praying earnestly. If we became a church that prayed sincerely like this church. If we became a church that had so much faith that miracles will happen surrounding us, that the God will send angels and rescue his people. Prayer sends angels to whoever you're praying to. It gives divine direction. See, Peter didn't know what was happening. In fact, here it says in verse chapter 9, he says, he thought he was seeing a vision. And he had no idea what the angel was doing. Sometimes we don't need to figure out what God is doing. We just need to pray. Pray sincerely, pray earnestly, and pray with faith. And as I finish, verse 11, it says, Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angels and he rescued me from Herod's clutches, from everything that the Jewish people were hoping would happen. What does this tell me is that God can change the hopeless situation into hopeful. That what the enemy meant for good, what the enemy meant for bad, that is King Herod Agrippa, he wanted to kill Peter. What the enemy meant for bad, God turned it for good. And as I finish the story, something else happened years before at the same time of this feast. Is Jesus went on the cross. And he died so that you and me will not be doomed to go to hell. He died and he rose again. The enemy thought, I will crucify God, I will crucify Jesus, that's the end of the story. But thanks be to God that he rose again and he defeated death, he defeated sin, and he gave us eternal life. And that's the hope we have today. Maybe you're sitting here, maybe you don't know Jesus, maybe you don't even believe in prayer. But this story tells me that God is the God who gives us hope. He answers our prayer. And I thought it would be wonderful for us to finish with the Lord's Prayer. So let's just close our eyes.